Hello, I'm here to introduce the next talk. Welcome back. Welcome to content. And jumping right into introducing our next speakers, Exploring Anti-War Railway Sabotage in Belarus through Scholar Organization of Digital Logistics, F, demonstrate how these cybernetic chains can be interrupted. In this talk, they describe the process of reafference as a basis for potential logistical sabotage. Delving into the politics of logistical cybernetics, the talk explores how people living on the territory of Belarus defend the colonial seizure of infrastructure from Russian authorities for economic and military use. The group is very aware about their position and are connected with artists in Ukraine, but the Ukrainian artists canceled their show here due to the political situation and also the question of weapon delivery from Germany and the official fusion statement. Still, please welcome artists and activists of Belarus, the F Collective. They will talk about a lot of technical stuff, and we're very curious what we can learn from them. And right after the talk, there'll be a 5-minute break, and I'll introduce the next talk. And thank you all so much for being here, and thank you.
Hey, hey, thank you.
Pam, pam.
Hi, everyone. Nice to be here with you. So maybe we'll start briefly with our shock before arriving here. One day before arriving here, we contacted with our Ukrainian comrades, and they told that they canceled their presentation here at the Fusion Festival because they accidentally have found this letter of Fusion Festival organizers from the last year that basically states that the Ukrainian people should not be supported with weapons and that kind of saying that the position of the festival is rather pacifist. And there is this, for us, from our Eastern European perspective, a strange collision between the positioning of the festival as anti-far, as having a lot of leftist political things included, and from another part that they're saying that those who are being attacked should not be protected by any means. And at the same time as this letter of Fusion Festival was written, we with another collective called Work Hard, Play Hard also wrote our own manifesto, and spontaneously we decided to read some parts of it to distinguish different positioning, because we found important that we will be present here and we will talk publicly about this problematic issue and this controversial topic that suddenly appeared. So thank you. So I will now quote some parts of our manifesto. I will try to do it slowly so that the translators can also follow us simultaneously. Today, we direct our forces to support our comrades and friends from Ukraine in the resistance to the colonial, patriarchal, extractivist Russian war machine, which destroys life in Ukraine as well as Chechnya, Syria, Abkhazia, Georgia, and backs repressive regimes of Belarus, Kazakhstan, and other geographies. The destruction of life, nature, and culture is a direct consequence of economic and political imperial ambitions of what we know under the Russian Federation. intersected by large and minor toxic narratives about the nation, the state, capital, and the people. It encompasses high chauvinistic culture, domestic racism, and elimination of critical programs of decolonization and resistance. And also today, the Belarusian regime survived not only due to the repressions, but also owing to the support of Putin's regime. And also we can say on the background of slowness and indecisiveness of European reactions. And today this led to the fact that the that Belarus participates in the war against Ukraine on the side of the aggressor, hosting the armed forces of the Russian Federation and providing them with its territory and infrastructure. The struggle can only be intersectional and international. It cannot be contained within the borders of nation states. Counter to repression and the military machine were not going to give up. But the tyrannic power is not going to retreat too, killing, destroying, dehumanizing, escalating repressions against anti-military voices and bodies. Clearly, the struggle will be long, but we do not have time. The Russian military invasion of Ukraine must stop. Russian troops must immediately leave the territory of Belarus. Here we found very important this actually announcing of actions that can be done right now. And while the Fusion Festival was saying that no weapons should be delivered to Ukraine, we asked people to support the armed forces of Ukraine. Because everyone may have their own opinion towards the armed forces, but now, without the Ukrainian army, people in Ukraine will not have a chance to survive. I have plenty of friends who used to be artists, who used to have their own cultural working plan for their life, but their families were attacked, and now a lot of them had to in everyday life, like if they will not have weapons, then they will simply be dead. And that was a very problematic at the very beginning of the Russian-Ukrainian war, when people. Yeah, raz. Okay, do you hear me? Yes, so that was very problematic, as the sound showed us at the beginning of the war. Yes. Woof, woof, woof. All right. No? Ross, Ross. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now it works. So this position is very problematic because basically at the beginning of the war, a lot of soldiers of the Ukrainian part, including my friends who used to be artists, didn't have basically the any means to protect themselves. So it's very important to support them. This money is also used for security, like walkie-talkies, body armors, medicine. And in this very moment, self-defense is not an attack, and we consider the importance to distinguish it. That who is the aggressor in this very moment? Who is self-defensing? Who are doing what? Yeah, and there are also territorial defense, there are left-wing militant self-organizations, there are a lot of people with different positions inside of this war, and we should clearly hear these voices. What are they saying? And we ask the Fusion Festival to write another statement. I know that there are also disagreements inside of the group, and there might be different positions, and these positions should be publicly announced, because the Ukrainian artists, a lot of them refused to participate because of this publicity, and that the festivals, if the festival says that like very openly, then we have a problem. That no Ukrainian voices are here, because they simply, they have a lot of relatives who are now dying.
Yeah, and in addition to this, I would like to stress that yesterday, in frame of Fusion Festival, happened the workshop with the name Waffenlieferung in the Ukraine und der drohende Atomkrieg. And I hadn't chance to participate in this, and I only knew that the friend of colleague of us made the intervention there to stop this workshop, which for her seemed very problematic. And so far, I haven't a lot of time to research through the position of organizers of this workshop. But as far as I could find, the position of this rhetoric on this workshop and the working group organized this from the perspective of from my perspective as not a citizen of Germany and not a citizen of European Union, and I'm being very close connected with the communities that are now being destroyed by not only brutal military force of Russian government, but also by different, I would like to say, proxy means, not not only the military forces. And as far as I found in a brochure published on the website of organizers of this yesterday's workshop, I would like to say that from my perspective, it looks like a bit surface polit-technological critique of the current situation without any without any
some noise.
Yeah, without any place for voices that are not related to any governmental apparatus. And which is very important for us to say that it's, if you are doing some critique of this situation, please find the way how to involve people from communities that are in danger now, not only analyzing the speeches of ministries of foreign affairs and other officials of involved national states and other international organizations that are on a different levels of supporting militarism and having some profits from this very painful situation.
Okay, and now we have a little bit of time of what we planned to do. But we found it important also, like, to share this part. And what we will do now is also connected to the solidarities and a more practical-based knowledge, but also to more analysis of how the infrastructural strike, the infrastructural strike is the strike that disrupts the physical infrastructures, something that supports a war, and how it also can be viewed from different positions, also including your own body, and including the time of these devices, of the physical devices that we call object symptoms, that are supporting this militaristic Russian war machine.
And intention why we wrote this, I don't know, the speech, the article, is that for us could be, I think, interesting to find the way how to share with you the views not only on somehow called ideological temporalities of colonial expansions, but also infrastructural ones that are in many cases are hidden behind rhetorics based on, for example, national states. But if we are speaking about the colonial practices of Russian government toward communities in Belarus or Ukraine, it's often not only this narrative of traditionalism or nationalism. Sometimes this is the hidden narratives of economical profit and capitalistic expansion that nowadays it's hard to unpack it and to divide these narrative one from each other.
And the glossary that we would need for today is wagon retarder or wagon slower, something that can slow the railway tracks, pliers, clamps, copper wire. And we ask the question, how to use the free time during the strike? What except time is relieved at this very moment? And we have done this laboratory work that was focusing on what we call algorithmic solidarity, infrastructures, as we mentioned, the potential to occupy them, and the importance of stopping them. Now we will look closely at the time that we called 5 years at the university. You completed your studies at the Transport University at the Department of Telemechanics in order to invent technical equipment for optimizing logistical flows with your own knowledge. Now you can see some pictures from your studies. How many hours did you spend at labs trying to fill the infrastructure? How many hours did you spend at labs with the devices that form the infrastructure? Here are the lab tables you used to discipline yourself to train the professional touch, train your motor memory. Here you are, being awarded, being disciplined, being ready to taste real infrastructure. Here are some maps you were counting on, some maps from lectures you were given, the infrastructure located in Belarus. Here is the mock-up of a railway you spent many days with, experimenting, learning how to feel the territory.
And the next temporality we want to talk about is the temporality of wagon slowers of or produced by wagon slowers of any kind. This is the temporality that slows down itself. In this chapter, we want to trace means how infrastructural time is being modulated. Wagon slowers here are symptom objects. In order to trace paths how wagon retarders or slowers were invented and further developed, we will look closer into this object. These ones on the picture were developed at the Belarusian State Transport University, which is located in a city called Gomel, big city near Belarusian-Ukrainian border. Being part of whole railway system, Wagon retarders are owned by companies that are loyal to any existing political regime that operates on the same territory where wagon slowers are installed. Both companies and the state bureaucratic apparatus need wagon retarders in order to coordinate and harmonize the logistic and transportation of goods. They are usually installed in places where something is being loaded or repacked into wagons. For example, potassium salt from Soligorsk, this is the city in Belarus, the city with huge amount of mines producing potassium salt that goes in European Union and Russia, or containers owned by Chinese companies loaded by fakes, remakes, and remakes of remakes, or tanks and military equipment that are being transported from Russia to Ukraine, and back burnt metal and dead bodies that are being transported from Ukraine to Russia back.
These flows require enormous amount of electronics to achieve profitability. For someone economical, for someone political. These electronics are organized into telemechanics, a science how to make materiality pulsating on a distance, slowing down, slowing up. And so we can make like this conclusion of this part, that not only ways to speed up, but also ways to slow down, logistical chains are being developed inside of different communities, including the Belarusian State University of Transport in the Department of Automation and Telemechanics. Let's focus now on the mechanics, how to slow down logistical machinery. Train retarders have a long history. Here you can see a photo from 1991. On April 1991, protesting workers blocked the railway tracks. Human bodies inside and against telemechanics. Here we can see the basically that human bodies are taking this function of being something that can slow down. And 2020 was the year when this contradiction, human body against telemechanical logistical body, became actual with new energy. That was a revolutionary year in Belarus, year of hope that new desires could rise from the cracks of slowed down political machinery. To give you some backgrounds for the regime, this created space and time for solidarity, gave people the opportunity to spend time together at the stations, and the possibility to create their own institutions. People have accumulated this experience and knowledge, and this knowledge came in handy in January and February 2022, when wagons loaded with military equipment of the Russian Federation drove alone along the railway tracks in Belarus. The sabotages at the railway continued, now with a new purpose. Before, it was the purpose to economically push the regime to stop its existence, and now to slow down and ideally stop the Russian military machine.
Yeah, and what kind of and what types of time frames and what temporalities are needed to make such infrastructural disruptions? To make such kind of infrastructural strikes possible? What kind of sensorium or a subject could develop to be better at this not very simple cyber-sized task? Some of wagon slowers are industrial produced, and some of them are made out of human bodies. And this tension between industry and human bodies, between mass production and art of invention by persons, here is the at the center of attention.
The next part is called Dispatch Centralization Niemann. This is the Niemann is this company that centralizes the railway tracks and the electronics around it in Belarus. And we focus on the very specific time, 0.25 seconds, which is the time of blinking the indicators of equipment that involve into logistical flows and choreography of them in the territory of Belarus. It's an everyday life perception of people who are choreographing these logistical flows. You are starting at this blinking, you are staring at these blinking LEDs, seeing, okay, everything is fine on this very territory. So this is the device that can grasp and translate the normalization of the logistical flows at the specific territory to the language of the human eyes and human perception. This is a very important compression device and compression mechanism. Please watch this video. This is a very simple simulation of the time where you can get used to the temporality of such centralization, of grasping the territory.
And here is a picture of how capital flows go through these supply chains. In this picture, you can clearly see how supply chains of global capital are tied into knot on Belarusian territory. If you look closer at this picture, you could see that the cities are not so important as flows. It's an illustrative moment in visualization of logistical flows that they are going through the territory, trying to make this flow unstoppable and as sufficient as possible. Students at universities, maybe some of you graduated there, are training there how to make these logistical flows efficient, and they are doing so on such kind of simulators of logistical flows. Simulators of the perception of this logic of their skin. 0.25 seconds blinking frequency on the LED on the control panel, frequency of representation of logistic efficiency. Yeah.
Listen to what DC Niemann says about itself. I am responsible for closure of tracks section, switch sections, opening of entrance traffic lights and their calling on signals, opening of exit traffic lights and their calling on signals, opening of classification train signals, additional information, day, night mode, DSN, layout, outer action. And here is the landscape that is captured by the logistical equipment. Here is how this temporality represents itself. Here are the people who train to look after the logistics, speed it up, and grease it with their sweat and creativity.
And the next time is the time frame in 10 minutes. This is a rocket time. This is the kinetic time. Around 10 minutes is the arrival time of a rocket fired from Gomel region in Belarus, where is the Belarusian University for Transport is located, to Kyiv. Depending on the location, speed and rocket time, the exact time could vary, but approximately it's 10 minutes. Flying speed and scroll speed. Effect and attention of a person who looks at the phone screen following the rocket. By what means is the time in which telemechanics operates and packed into the spectacular interface time.
Imagine Telegram interface. In the media file, the sound and image of the flying rocket. 6 seconds video of chemical kinetic time packed by algorithms into a spectacular user experience. Rocket arrival in 12 minutes. In another message, in another chat. Territorial separation is synchronous with the privatized user experience. The time frame of 10 minutes packed into 6 seconds of user experience is the time frame that poses the questions. How can the scroll speed and the fly speed can be combined? Can they? How the telemechanic action, the action which is driven by military forces, is compressed into the scroll-like experience? What can be found in the user experience, not in terms of spectacularity, but functionality?
The next time is 3 milliseconds. This is the delay in some cables and connection networks are used in a logistical equipment around railway systems. In these cabinets, there were machines of telemechanics responsible for the functioning of the railway as a logistical infrastructure, remote control of territory. At the same time, 3 milliseconds is approximate time that takes for railway cabinet to burn out. What would be this time? How would you perceive it? Burned cabinets with wires, cabinet in front of the station. The train slows down, the cabinet in the window slows down, showing its burned insides to the passengers. Depending on the strength of the fire, the electronics will be damaged in the first tens of seconds or even faster. Let's look into temporalities more precisely. One of them is functional time of infrastructural strike, time of disruption and disconnection. Another time is functional time of logistics. This is the rhythm of capital, flow of goods and investments. The third time is a spectacular time. This is more human scale time, the time that can be captured by our devices, converted into images and saved or posted somewhere. Usually, this time is the time of finding these cabinets burned out totally in ash.
The next focus is 15 years for an infrastructural strike. So this is a symptom of trying to equate the acts of infrastructural strike to acts of terrorism by the Belarusian government. This emerging equation between a terrorist attack and sabotage is a symptom that should be highlighted. On the day of the workshop that we made, we woke up with the news that one of the employees of Vitebsk branch of the Belarusian railway was arrested and was sentenced for 15 years for making an act of terrorism, as I quote here the Ministry of Internal Affairs. So our workshop that we made became a workshop of solidarity with political prisoners. By doing this simple operation, as you can see on the video that we're showing to you, we were creating our own train slowers. If you put the wire on an actual railway, it slows down the train as the train thinks that the other train occupies the railway track. And this telemechanical automation recognizes the wire as the other train, basically. And that is here when algorithmic processes are actively involved. And during this session that took place as part of Anti-War Coalition invitation in Kassel, we were trying to go to this very specific environment. Here it was the abandoned part of a railway track, and this action can be semi-illegal from the position of one state, and from the position of the other cannot be recognized as such. So in Belarus, if we would do this simple act of training session, how to stop the trains, a lot of people got arrested, and a lot of activity against stopping Russian military machine was treated as acts of terrorism. But what we insist on is this is the acts of infrastructural strike, the acts where people have their own agency to say that they don't want the military force of Russian Federation on their territory. And one of the participants told me at the end of this action that it was important to see how the infrastructure is actually fragile, and it is. It's really easy to collide the colonial infrastructure as something eruptible, inviolable, immutable, and usually it appears as something unshakable, but it's not true. Yeah, and when going to such specific locations collectively, we aim to intervene the actual bodies and the algorithmical infrastructures that we tried today a little bit to talk about. And functional time here of knowledge production is somehow perceived by a certain sudden collective that is formed. And we were wondering, by making this action, to make a forum at the backdrops of an existing railway infrastructure, and is it possible or not, and how we can perceive these joints of disruptions of body time and the time of logistics, time of knowledge production and logistical equipment, how to stop logistical equipment to work properly. How not to be in no longer in your fantasies, but also to work with the material that is presenting this materiality of stopping the military machine.
Thank you. Pom pom.
Now we maybe have a little bit of time, like 5 minutes to one or two questions, and then the next thing will start. If you have any.
Hello, perfect. Thank you very much for being here with us. I'm curious to know if you collaborate as well with NGOs and political collectives that organize, for instance, in Belarus or in Russia. They have a talk coming up soon. So indeed, I think it is absolutely right. We need to self-organize on a network level. And I understand, it makes sense, but it's just, how do we do it? I think we would learn a lot from your experiences working with them. So if you could share on that, I think that would be super useful, but if you can.
Thank you a lot for this question. For example, this was an attempt through the material involvement into the very specific material of how to stop the trains, also to raise these political issues of who is attacking whom, and also to open up these gated communities in terms of their understanding, we were united not by the specific nation or national question or anything like that, but by the emergency of the current military situation of Russian-Ukrainian war. And of course, we do collaborations that are looking into these international questions, not only with ex-Soviet countries, but also more internationally and intersectionally. If we can share it in this brief moment, how we do it, it's of course very difficult as it's the whole story. Yeah, but maybe we can keep it like that, and then if you have an interest, we can more explain how we do it after.
Can we find the how it works in practice? Is it online or where do we find it?
Yes, we have a website called eeeff.org, EEEFF.org, and there could be some materials found.
Mm-hmm. How effective are those interventions? Are those interventions, yeah.
Yeah,
According to one of the workers who are working on the Belarusian territory from train, the worker who is involved into the train system, those interventions and sabotages were very effective, and now almost no Russian military equipment goes through Belarus. They are trying to pass it by because of these types of interventions.
Yeah, and when we are speaking about this very situation of stopping the trains, that was a year ago when the moment of the peak of the crisis of using Belarusian territory as a proxy territory for Russian military forces, and then this very moment, that was according to some voices from the Belarusian government, this is a kind of shocking situation that people started to resist. Even the super harsh level of repressions at that moment unrolled in Belarus after Belarusian 2 years of Belarusian revolution, and an answer of Belarusian government was to somehow requalify the these moments of sabotage and striking using the infrastructure as an act of terrorism, somehow criminalizing the disobedience. And then this military constellation of in the positions in the war changed, and Belarus was somehow not so obviously involved since that. But of course, it's very painful situation of having Belarusian government which is loyal to Russian government, and Russian military troops are trained in Belarusian military bases, and rockets are flying from Belarusian territory to Ukraine.
Yeah, maybe we have the time for one more last question, and then we will need to pass on for the next speakers.
I wanted to ask, why do you talk about Russian colonialism and not of imperialism?
Thank you for the question. It's a good question. And of course, we have the whole corpora of different terms to describe the violence from the big governmental entities towards small ones, from more somehow predatory ones to more peaceful ones. Saying colonial, maybe this is because we want to move on a bit more functional, a practical level, unpacking the not ideological narratives, but more very specific small practices of practices of canceling, for example, the sovereignty of some communities, but not on a huge scale, but on a very small gestures, starting from changing the ownership for companies operates in Belarus, for example, to these harsh moments of using the territory as a proxy territory for military forces. So, and our interest is to unpack rather than to make a big picture. And for this, at least from our perspective, and at least from our practice, maybe it would be better not talking about colonial or imperial at all, but as we have only this dictionary now, and a common dictionary between us, so we are using this. But from my opinion, it would be better to reinvent this vocabulary, which will be more suitable for nowadays.
Thank you.